talking construction mafias now. Now, these are groups who often label themselves as business forums, networks that employ violence and other illegal means of controlling access to public sector procurement opportunities. These groups typically invade construction sites of legitimate companies demanding money or to a stake in the development of those projects. Since 2019, at least 183 infrastructure and construction projects worth around 63 billion rand have been affected by construction mafias. Since then, invasions have continued at construction sites across South Africa. To tackle this particular issue, I'm talking now to Jennifer Smith, the Director and Head of Construction and Engineering at Workmen's Attorneys. Now, this is not a new trend, Jennifer, but how bad is it now? How many cases are you dealing with as Workmen's?
Well, at the moment, I'm currently dealing with one that's just come in yesterday. They don't come through very frequently because there are problems in terms of the paradigm, the given facts and circumstances. It is a very difficult thing to manage because what really you need is police enforcement on the ground. At the outset, and often the need to get involved from at court level comes about because you're not getting the kind of support you need at that level, as and when you need it. So it becomes difficult then to seek to enforce an order without the assistance of the police, who in the first instance are not necessarily on board. So it's generally a measure of last resort and something that should actually hopefully be avoided through measures of pragmatism and engagements with relevant communities in which the projects are being executed.
What excuses, or perhaps one could say the coy that some of these groups use, these business forums use, when they get to the site, when you're about to start a public project to either build a road or pave a road, what are some of the excuses they use to perhaps get in on the deal that you've secured through a tender?
Well, it's just generally a drive of the need for a job or unemployment or a sense of, as part of that community, an entitlement to some cut or part of the proceeds, a right by virtue of payments. I mean, it can take any form, extortion, bribery, just straight up bribes, or it can be in exchange for people coming and working notionally, but generally these guys don't have the appropriate skill sets and accountability that, more formal construction outfits prefer to deploy. So, it's not just confined to construction projects per se. Any infrastructure which generally occurs in remote areas as well is also a soft target as far as these communities are concerned. So they'll generally take a view that because the project and stroke or infrastructure is being carried out in their area, there is an obligation on the company in question to share and to allow them, that part of the community, to participate. It's driven by the social issues, really, and also there are legitimate expectations of local procurement, transformation, preferential procurement that initially sort of drive these, but then they're characterized by violent behavior, gun toting, lockouts, blocking roads and access, sabotage and the like. So it can often spiral into the wrong direction from there.
I mean, I imagine a company that's gone through the process of bidding for a project, private or public, would have then gone through the 30% share of the contract value in terms of making sure that they stick to the interpretation of the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. By the time the project starts, all of that would have been done. They don't need a new business forum to come in and seek another 30% on top of what they're already sharing.
You're quite right, Matteo. The pricing of a project is something that's undertaken upfront, and you plan everything in advance. You have a clear idea of what your costs are going to be, your overhead, your P's and G's, and all of the elements that go into the project, that the deliverable. And so these guys coming in after the event are obviously an unplanned factor. and certainly not budgeted for, and one shouldn't have to budget for bribes and for these additional arrangements. But having said that, if one is a contractor with a view to execute a project in a particular area where you know there to be a community, it would be advisable to strategize and to take that community into account in terms of labor deployment and community engagement, so that expectation, if you like, can be addressed to some extent in a legitimate way.
And what are some of these business owners saying to you when they seek that legal advice? Have they already given into some of these construction mafias to say, we've paid them twice, we can't pay any longer, and the project budget is not working out because they want more than we can offer?
Well, absolutely. There's no space to accommodate this sort of behavior. I mean, obviously there's fear that motivates the desire to try and get on with things. In my instances where I've dealt with it, it's a case of zero tolerance, not prepared to put up with that kind of intimidation and threats to business, and not getting the right kind of responses and support from the local police services, which drives the need to then make approaches to court for interdictory relief. I think that answers the question.
Yeah.
Have
we had some sort of recourse for those legitimate companies that have come forward to workmen's attorneys, cases playing themselves out in South Africa's courts where they do feel confident that if we do take this matter to court, it will be dealt with? As you said, police aren't doing their job on the ground, but do the courts sort out these sort of matters?
So in some cases, the police are supportive. It very much depends on the space and the community. And often one of the drivers behind the police not cooperating is actually a fear of intimidation themselves. They live in these communities where they are potentially also under threat by these individuals who are, let's face it, gangsters. So they're not, they're a law unto their own. We're often dealing in areas which are a little bit more remote, not under sort of close to areas that are safer and the like. So when one goes to court, one can certainly, having sussed out what the position on the ground is and the reasons for the perhaps maybe not the support you're looking for from that particular space in the SAPS unit, ask for assistance from a provincial or national level, in terms of getting in there and getting the order enforced by other people, as it were, not part of the community. That is one way in which it can be held, and it can be quite effective.
A very problematic thing happening in the construction sector, and of course, a sector that is also starved of projects because, of course, in terms of spend from government, the sector has been calling for government to spend on infrastructure to make sure that there's more business there. But even if there is, and even when there is business, things like this do happen. Jennifer Smith, director and head of construction at the engineering at Workmen's Attorneys. Now, since 2019, 712 cases have been reported, with 93 currently in court. A total of 722 suspects have been arrested as these business forums or construction mafias, if you will, and 96 cases are fully completed. So a lot of work being done as well from the law enforcement side to make sure that business goes through as usual.